Welcome to First Bite, PrideDetroit.com. At Pride of Detroit on Twitter, this is your preview podcast for the week. First Bite, compliment to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, small in format, but it's your first take on the week. And this weekend, the Lions are heading down deep in the heart of, or more the belly of Texas, to Houston, H-Town, playing the Houston Texans, which that name is something you can say a lot. Joining me, I'm Chris Lemieux, at Detroit Southern on Twitter. Joining me, my erstwhile compatriot, Ryan Matthews.
How's it going?
At Ryan underscore POD, the rock god himself. And Jeremy Reisman's joining us here this time, fearless leader at Detroit on Lion. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm good. Y'all try to do this without me.
Yeah, I know. He heard we were having fun.
I caught wind of it.
You heard we were having fun, Ryan, and he was like, no, you guys cannot have fun.
Yeah.
I must make sure that there is no fun.
This website is a prison.
I know how y'all treat Reno when he's not in the podcast, so I just want to make sure that you guys are behaving.
You were doing it, too. All right, we got to get going, though, because it's the preview one. This is lean to the point. We're going to try to get you out of here in 20 to 30 minutes. Joining us, though, from our sister site, Battle Red Blog for the Houston Texans, Matt Weston. How are you doing, Matt?
Oh, I'm doing swell.
Where are you coming from here tonight?
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio. I like it.
A good basketball team in San Antonio.
Yeah, they're pretty good. It's a shame I'm a Sacramento Kings fan, though.
Oh, that is very sad.
Why?
Oh, because I was 9 and stupid and fell in love with Chris Webber.
I was 9 and I was stupid. I love it.
That's how I became a Detroit Lion fan. So, yeah.
Wait, you're a fan of the Lions, Chris?
Oh, stop. All right. Injuries. We're going to start here as we always do. We're going to start with the Detroit Lions. Good news in the offense. They are, looks like all signs are pointing to that running back Theo Riddick and or tight end Eric Ebron will be playing Sunday. Ryan, Jeremy, like, just talk real quick. Just like, what is Detroit getting back with these guys for those who might not remember?
Well, obviously Theo Riddick is huge in the passing game, and they're also getting probably Dwayne Washington back. But I'm not convinced this is going to be a huge bump to their running game, because if you look, since Amir Abdullah has been out, it doesn't matter who's been in the game. The Lions haven't been able to run the ball. That being said, I am excited to see both Riddick and Ebron in there, because they're going to make that passing game even more dynamic than it's been over the past 3 weeks.
Who do you think is getting the boot here? Are we going to see more, like, with Ebron back, are we giving the boot to Clay Harbor? Giving it to, like...
Clay Harbor will still be in there, but you won't see any Kari Lee, I don't think. Kari Lee's probably done with the team.
But thank God you finally have a real tight end back in the game, right?
Yeah. If there's anything that's going to boost the running game, I think it's honestly Ebron's return. Hopefully, actually have a tight end who can block a little bit.
Ryan, all these people who have been like bad mouthing Ebron, like I'm surprised not more of them have just been like, please come back soon.
Well, people have their wires crossed about Ebron, as they do about DeAndre Levy. So let's get into the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, defense, ooh, not looking good. Haloti Ngata was limited, but he looks like he's progressing. So I think that fits in that 2 to 3 week timetable for his return. Because what was that? That was 2 weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's been out 2 games.
So this would be a very early return for Haloti Ngata if he made it back, but still to have that defensive line presence. But it's the backfield where we're looking. So once again, no DeAndre Levy. That was to be expected. But no Darius Slay as a possibility. Darius Slay has missed Wednesday and Thursday practice. And now on Thursday practice, Nevin Lawson appeared with a foot injury. So what's plan B for the cornerback cadre if there is no Darius Slay and you're maybe looking at Nevin Lawson not being 100%.
Oh man, plan B is not looking good. Plan B is Johnson Bedamosi, and we saw him inserted into the Washington game last week, and he came in for Slay when he went out with his hamstring injury, and it wasn't good. You know, immediately Washington decided to start picking on him, and they did it often. and it worked. It worked a lot. And Jim Caldwell in practice today said that it would be quote unquote exciting to see Bademosi get the opportunity. And I think a lot of Lions fans would use any other adjective other than exciting.
Yeah, I'd probably try to pick out a thesaurus and find something that indicates a little more panic and fear, but he's kind of in the general area of exciting, I guess. Jeremy, what's your take on this? By the way, Riley Reiff also out with that dreaded illness designation for two practices. I don't know if he probably plays. So
needs a flu shot.
Talk to me a little bit. Talk to me about the defensive side of the ball you see, Jeremy, and maybe what the offensive line can do without Riley Reiff and probably without Corey Robinson to back it up either.
Well, I'm not sure what to think about the offensive line at this point. Usually when it's an illness, you see a player rebound after a couple days. So I'm not really concerned about Reiff's availability yet. But if we're talking defense, yeah, I'm not really sure what the plan is without Darius Slay. Obviously, Bademosi is kind of that guy. But if Lawson's limited or can't go, you might see Alex Carter being brought up from the practice squad, which would be kind of another nightmare scenario. I mean, he's there for a reason and he has some playing experience, but it hasn't been good. I think we might see Alex Carter anyways, just without Slay, just to have that extra body around and maybe, you know, trying to send Zenner back down or something like that, since the running backs are getting healthy.
All right. Now let's turn our attention to the Texans on that side of the ball. Let's bring Matt in here. Let's see here. How many do we have on this injury report? I need to pull up Wednesday's here too, but right now off the top of the bat, I think the big one that everyone's talking about is Lamar Miller. He got his shoulder banged up in Monday Night Football against Denver. So do you have any updates as far as Lamar Miller? Is the plan still to play him on Sunday, or is there anything that might be impeding that?
Everything that I saw is that he's just been limited in practice. I know Monday night he only had 11 carries. Alfred Blue had 11 carries. Throughout most of this year, he's had like 25 or 30 a game. And so I'm guessing that shoulder was enough of a hampering that they didn't want to push him too far. And Monday night,
Do you think they would limit his carries this week? Or are they comfortable with Alfred Blue taking the bulk of carries if necessary?
I guess so, because he's gotten a lot of carries before, but Alfred Blue's been very bad. I mean, he's a real plotter. He can do exactly what the offense line gives him, but he can't break any tackles or do much with it. But I'm sure they're more than comfortable giving him, you know, 25 carries because he's done before in the past, even though he hasn't been good at it.
Well, I noticed there was two other running backs on the injury report here, too. Jonathan Grimes limited with an ankle injury. Tyler Irvin, full practice with a knee injury. I don't expect, like, those injuries to really hamper them at all, but will depth potentially be an issue if Lamar Miller can't go?
But those running backs really haven't gotten that many carries. I know Grimes did a little bit the first 2 weeks and then he got injured, but they used him kind of on third downs and he's a good receiver. Tyler Irvin was a fourth round pick. He hasn't really been played at running back at all whatsoever. He's probably used as a punt returner and he fumbled a punt. I think on Monday night, he fair catch with like 7 yards of space ahead of him because he was scared. And he also was returning kicks and got benched doing that too because he fumbled. So he's been kind of a disappointment as far as a fourth round pick goes. But now those guys really get the bulk of the carries. It's all Lamar Miller. And now on Monday night, it was Lamar Miller. And about half Lamar Miller, about half Alfred Blue.
All right, let's see what else we got here. Jadeveon Clowney was listed as limited with elbow from what you told me. That seems to be kind of a long-term maintenance program on Jadeveon Clowney. He should probably go on Sunday. But just tell me real quick, though, because I loved Jadeveon Clowney in college, and I just haven't heard his name come up too much in the pros. And obviously, a lot of that was because he spent the first two seasons injured. But just how have you felt so far about Jadeveon Clowney with the Texans?
Yeah, I mean, his first year is a real big disappointment, mainly because he was injured. And he was great in college because he was so much more superior athletically than, you know, the offensive lineman in college football. And so he's able to get by just by being bigger and faster and stronger than everybody. And the pros, you know, there it's a lot more marginal of an improvement that he has athletically over guys who actually learn to play football. And that's what sucks about his first year being out the entire season, was that he didn't get the chance to learn technique or how to, like, set up his pass rush moves or how to take on half a defender or how to read an offensive lineman's steps and react to the ball. And then last year we saw a lot of flashes of athleticism, which is what you wanted after him having microfracture surgery. And this year he's been really good football-wise, but not necessarily box score-wise. And so, no matter that, he's not really filling up like with, you know, tackles or sacks or quarterback hits or hurries or those sorts of things. It's been a lot of just chasing from the backside on run plays and you know, being really fast and making tackles, you know, 5 yards of the field or directly on the line of scrimmage. But, I mean, he's a great athlete. The problem with him this year has just been you can run at him, and also he hasn't been a very good pass rusher playing from, like, the 5 technique and the 3 technique rather than an outside linebacker on the, you know, really out wide on the outside shoulders against tight ends and tackles.
All right, 2 more notes here. Let's see. Brian Peters and Corey Moore, linebacker and safety, both not in practice. I don't suppose either of them are significant pieces right now. I don't remember their names too much.
Yeah, I guess Brian Peters was the backup linebacker, and then Brian Cushing came back, and he hasn't really played at all. And I also think he got hurt doing kickoffs against the Vikings in that, you know, hilarious game. And then Corey Moore has a concussion. He was a backup for Quinnen Demps, and he wasn't very good against Denver. That touchdown Emmanuel Sanders had, he took to the 3-yard line was mainly because he took a really bad angle on it. And he's just kind of like a athletically limited guy who doesn't have like the sense to know where to be around the ball, to be like a capable safety at all. He's just a special teams guy, you know?
All right. Before I continue on to the next segment, then, do we have any other news relating to either the Lions or the Texans that anyone needs to report here? I don't think there's really too much, right?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the top matchups in this game, talk about some predictions, and everything else you need to get ready for Sunday. So stick around. All right. Part 2 here on First Bite. Let's talk about the big matchups. And right now, Lions secondary versus DeAndre Hopkins is looking pretty dicey if Darius Slay cannot play. Matt, do you want to talk at all about what DeAndre, like, what makes DeAndre Hopkins special in your mind?
Well, he's really great at, like, not being, like, a super athlete and being able to get open. And he's so good at his body control. He has, like, the best swim move I've ever seen a wide receiver make. He's really good at, like, stuttering and stopping. He knows how to manipulate his body really well. And he also has a huge catch radius. And like everybody talks about Kawhi Leonard's and his hands in the NBA. DeAndre Hopkins has similar hands at the wide receiver position where he reaches out and catches balls, you know, I guess that's way too far, but a couple feet ahead of him, he really extends and snags the ball out of the air. This year he has been very good, and that's because it's Brock Osweiler. I know, I think it was Scott Kaxmir of Football Outsiders had a tweet that said, "How do you stop DeAndre Hopkins?" And the answer is have Brock Osweiler throw him the football. And this year he's like, you know, 50th in DVOA, DYAR. He's like, his catch rate's like 50%. Last week, I think he had 5 catches on 12 targets for like 53 yards. And so he's been averaging, you know, like he's had some games where he's had 7 yards a catch where they're just dumping the ball off on quick comebacks and flat routes. And it's just been really sad to watch, you know, especially after how much he did last year with, you know, 5 different crappy quarterbacks.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Brock Osweiler, because I know that is kind of a thorny subject right now down in Houston that, you know, especially after Monday night, like we know this is probably one of the worst, I wouldn't say the worst quarterback in the NFL. There's plenty of them, but he's probably the one of the lower tier for a price and for a team that was expecting a little more out of Brock Osweiler. This guy gets picked up from Denver expecting a big payday and to be playing like a bona fide starter, and just hasn't been that way right now. So, like, what's really been his struggles so far? Like, what's really kind of kept him from being what we thought he would be when we first went to Houston?
Yeah, you're being too nice. He's been the worst quarterback in the NFL this year. You know, if you go by yards in attempt, you go by DVOA, DYAR, as long as you're talking about, like, you know, touchdowns and reception ratio, maybe he hasn't been. I mean, like, the first week he was really good. He played against a bad Bears offense, or defense, I should say. He was, you know, pretty good against the Chiefs. He's had good quarters, but he hasn't had, you know, whole good games. And pretty much what he was doing the first 2 weeks was they were playing a lot of single high, you know, cover one, or single safety high cover one. And he was just throwing the ball deep to Hopkins and Fuller, and whenever they had 1-versus-1 coverage, and those guys are so good on the outside that they can beat that, you know, pretty easily. And he was throwing the deep ball well, and then the Patriots played 2 safeties deep, and they played cover two man, you know, cover two Tampa, And he just didn't know what to do. So he just started checking the ball off and dumping it off, you know, over and over again. And that's what we've seen. We've seen the guys throwing the ball a lot, throwing the ball a lot short. Now he doesn't, and he doesn't have really the accuracy or the ball placement to be a guy who can, you know, throw a lot of 12-yard intermediate routes. Like, he needs to throw deep to open up, you know, yards such as a catch on shorter things, because he doesn't hit guys in stride very well. And I mean, he's just been, you know, miserable. The pass blocking's been good too. It's not on him. It's not on them. You know, those skill positions are there too. It's not because guys aren't open. And I think, like, the three problems you've seen is that he's throwing shorter and step deeper when he has guys open downfield. He's overreacting to the pressure when they're releasing pressure there. And then the accuracy. And this scheme hasn't helped him at all. I think they could do things like throw 15-yard passes on play action instead of manufacturing like 35-yard downfield passes into double coverage. The Broncos did a great job covering their one deep receiver in play action. He was throwing a triple coverage and overthrowing guys. I think also using better routes to attack the middle of the field, like putting DeAndre Hopkins in the slot more often, would be good. And also not doing dumb things like throwing the ball on 3rd-and-1 and 3rd-and-3, or throwing screen passes on 3rd-and-8 where he's not going to pick anything up. And then instead just letting the offense do what it should do instead of trying to cater to getting Brock Osweiler into a rhythm, because that hasn't happened yet. And that game on Monday night was probably one of the worst performances I've ever seen. I mean, it was one of the worst performances I've ever seen. Like I joked earlier, he threw the ball 41 times at less than 200 yards, passing yards. In that situation, he averaged 3.2 yards an attempt. He averaged 6.95 yards a catch, and he threw a fumble farther than his average completion was that game. And it was just the most miserable thing. Even though the Broncos pass defense is really good, he was just, you know, just so, so bad.
Abe, you guys got a question for him?
Well, I guess, I mean, the question with this matchup is just which team is going to finally not be crappy, because the Lions also have the worst pass defense in the league. I was looking through stats today, and the Texans haven't had a game where they've thrown for a passer rating above 100. They've barely thrown one over 90. The one game against the Colts that you were referencing is that one. But the Lions haven't held any quarterback below 100 passer rating this year. And that includes guys like Marcus Mariota, you know, anyone they've faced. And there's been rookies, there's been...
This is a very movable object meeting a very stoppable force.
Right. Like,
This is not so. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens here in regards to that. Like,
I think the interesting thing that Matt said, because it hasn't been the long ball that's killed the Lions specifically, and that's, I guess, the one thing that the Texans do good when they actually try it. It's the underneath stuff that's killed the Lions, and I guess you're saying that that's what the Texans and Osweiler struggles with the most. Is that kind of how, am I reading that right?
Yeah, just anything like over like 5 or 6 yards down the field, they struggle with. And like I said, he just doesn't have the accuracy to lead receivers, give him yards after the catch. He doesn't have the accuracy on 12-yard throws. Like, you've seen a lot of his interceptions, DeAndre Hopkins, are throws where he throws it behind him, which opens the door for the cornerback to make a play. And they also haven't run a lot of good route combinations for guys like Braxton Miller, Fedorowicz, Ryan Griffin, some of their lesser receivers who can't beat man coverage on their own. And you've seen those kind of problems. But yeah, this is the 32nd-ranked pass offense against the 32nd-ranked defense. And I don't know how often that's happened or what the results have been, but it should just be kind of like a really funny matchup on Sunday.
All right. And then on the other side of the ball, let's talk Lions offense versus Houston defense. And we've kind of been talking about this, Jeremy, Ryan. We've been talking about this idea of, yeah, Stafford's been playing great, but these are also kind of up and down defenses they've been facing too. Like, I'm trying to remember the Barnwell stat off the top of my head, but there's a lot of defenses that just aren't really pressuring Stafford too hard. I have no clue where Houston is right now. I had some numbers up and I've completely lost my spot, which is not unusual. And this is apparently why you need to find a new host or something, according to certain people out there. But yeah, how do we all see Stafford faring against this Houston defense?
I mean, I guess this defense, since J.J. Watt's been out, they've been, you know, top 10 pass defense, mainly because their secondary is really deep. They've had big contributions from, you know, players like A.J. Bouye, who came out of nowhere and has been, like, the best cornerback in the league. And I think top 10 in success rate, which is Football Star stat, and he's number 1 in Pro Football Focus grades at cornerbacks, if you're into that sort of thing. And, you know, they play really good man coverage on the outside. They're not allowing anything really deep. But the one problem that this defense has is it's older. So if you run a quick offense, run a lot of plays in a row, they get tired down real quickly. You know, Vince Wilfork is tired after, you know, getting out of the couch, let alone making him, you know, run two plays in a row. And so if you're playing, you know, real quick offense, they have issues with that. The other thing, too, is they just kind of lack team speed as well, where if you get the ball in space, they haven't been tackling very well. The Kansas City Chiefs destroyed them, you know, twice last year. The Falcons destroyed them. The Dolphins destroyed them just by getting really fast, skilled players in space and having them break tackles and go. And, you know, right now, I think they're like 12th in most missed tackles in the league right now. And that's just been kind of an issue. And that's also going against offenses who have blown them out to begin with. And offenses led by, you know, Jacoby Brissett. You know, the Vikings just pretty much punted the whole second half. And so they just really haven't been a good tackling team. That's kind of the issue here. If the Texans winning makes you feel happy or good, because the Lions are going to get the ball outside quickly. You know, Golden Tate the third. Marvin Jones are going to break tackles and they're going to get going. They're going to catch short passes and move. And that's been the biggest problem with the Texans, you know, secondary this year. And I guess for the past few years, too.
I like how you use the third in his name. Nice little ring to it. I like it. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see because I know the Lions, like, they do spread it out. So you mentioned that one corner. So whoever he's on, I'm sure, is going to probably, like, that person might have a slow day. But then Stafford can just, I mean, as we point out, there's been different weapons on this offense all over the place.
I was just going to ask, has the injury to Kevin Johnson kind of manifested itself in any way yet on this defense? I know he's only been out for one game, but how do you see that affecting the defense so far?
It hasn't necessarily just because Bouye played really well, and he played cornerback too. And then they also have Kareem Jackson who can play the slot, and he's been, you know, a very good slot defender for the past few years. I know he has a hamstring injury, and he has been breaking the ball very well. That touchdown he gave up on Monday night was a good example of that. But Kevin Johnson's injury hasn't been, you know, disastrous because of the depth they've had at the first three cornerback positions. But it is a bummer losing him, especially because he's been a legitimate number one cornerback when he was healthy this year. And he was, you know, really made a leap from last year as well, too.
All right, let's move on to just kind of final predictions as far as, you don't need to give scores or nothing, but like how you kind of see certain parts of this game going. Ryan, you've been pretty quiet here, so why don't we give the first ball to you? Like, what, how do you see, like, you know how much I hate the word, the keys to the game. Let's get them.
Well, you know, if the Lions have struggled on offense, it's happened when the defensive line is able to generate pressure. And I mean, I guess that can really go for any team in the NFL when their quarterback is under duress, mistakes are going to happen. But, you know, if the Texans can get some push along that front line, you know, being on the road, it could be a long day if the Lions offense starts to struggle, because, you know, this seems like, you know, going in every week, a lot of people want to call each Lions game, you know, having the potential to be a shootout. But, you know, you have to think back to the Chicago game, or you have to think back to even the Tennessee game. And I know that game was marred by flags and flags upon flags upon flags, but I really think that if the Texans can get some push along the along the defensive line, and, you know, if those blue pants can push back the white pants, you know, as our buddy Chris Spielman would say, there could be some problems for the Lions offense, and it could quickly turn into a game where, I hate to say it, and Matt, you might not believe this, but crazier things have happened. Brock Osweiler might look worth every penny come this Sunday.
Lions have that effect. Do we have no Chris Spielman this week?
No, we don't.
No,
thank
Chris
God.
Spielman. Oh,
God. We have Rondae Barber. And
that's not an improvement.
It is. It is. It is, though. Actually, yes.
All right. Matt, what do you see going on with this game? Like, what do you think is probably going to be a big, like, one facet of this game that you could put money on happening? It doesn't need to be like an outcome or anything, but like, you know, a matchup or just something happening that you feel really confident about.
Yeah, I'm not a rich man, but I would, you know, put everything I have, you know, my Honda and Cord included on the fact that it's going to be a one possession game, because every Lions game has been one. The Texans, you know, passing offense is terrible, even though the the Lions passing defense is just as bad. But I think it's going to be a closer game. I think it's going to be a one possession game as well. I have Detroit winning 28-24. And I just think the Texans, and the problems that they're having the red zone is the reason why they're going to lose. They're not going to score touchdowns. And the reason why is just in the red zone, accuracy is a lot more important. And Brock Osweiler doesn't have the accuracy. And the only way he can really score if they're 15 yards down, he throws a fade up to DeAndre Hopkins. But I think the Lions are going to be able to get the ball in space, you know, break tackles, and really use that quick passing offense. And I think Brock Osweiler will look good at times. He'll lead some, you know, good drives, like what he did in the last three possessions against Indianapolis, like what he did in the, you know, first half against Kansas City, the first quarter against Tennessee. And, you know, for Osweiler, this is the type of game where, like, if he doesn't play well, it's just kind of, you know, abandon all hope and, you know, jump over the deck and just kind of give up, because that's how bad this pass defense is. So, I mean, I think both teams are going to be able to score, but I just think the Lions are going to be able to score more just because I like Matthew Stafford. He's much better than Brock Osweiler is.
I haven't quite finished my preview yet, but the way I'm kind of envisioning this game playing out after our talk here and after doing a little bit of research is kind of a lot like the Washington game last week. I think both offenses are going to have kind of these long, prolonged drives that eat up a lot of clock, but don't necessarily end in a lot of points. So I'm seeing kind of a lower scoring game with both offenses still clicking. You know, I hear all the Brock Osweiler stuff, but until this defense stops anybody, including a guy like Case Keenum, I think they're going to get torn apart. And with Darius Slay likely gone too, that only makes matters worse. So I don't have a pick for the game yet, but I do see it. Like Matt said, this is almost certainly going to be a one possession game, another heart check, you know, check your heart monitor game type thing. And it'll be fun.
Yeah. I could also see some more of those, you know, prolonged drives as Jeremy pointed out. And I wanted to ask Matt one question. In terms of, you know, whether it's Lamar Miller or it's Alfred Blue, I know you mentioned that the Texans offensive line has been pretty good so far this year. They've given Brock Osweiler adequate time. But I've also noticed that, you know, Bill O'Brien has really used Lamar Miller a lot. I think that when I checked, he's in the top six among, you know, attempts per game. And the one thing that this Lions defense really struggled with is short yardage, third down situations. They are giving up third down conversions left and right, especially in short yardage situations. Is that something that Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue can do they pick up yardage when they really need it on third down, or are they good at extending drives if they can get into that position?
Yeah, I know that they pretty much punt all like third and seven or longer. They just run screens or draws, which is just like, you know, the worst thing to see. Monday night they were throwing the ball a lot on like third and three and getting like 1 yard because they wanted Brock Osweiler to do something and it didn't work. But the offensive line, they're good at pass blocking, but they're really bad at run blocking. They just lost Derek Nunes to just an awful injury where he blew both of his patellar tendons.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like an elephant got tranquilized and then he like eventually hit and then he went down.
Oh,
and,
wow. Okay.
But he's their best run blocker by far. But the whole offensive line hasn't run blocked well at all. And they're not moving the front first level. And when they do, it's okay, but somebody else will miss a block and lead to attack from the backside. But the problem is they don't block linebackers, you know, whatsoever. And so they're not able to do anything more than create, you know, the first 3 yards on a run. So they, in short yard situations, they really don't put themselves in those a lot. They're mostly collecting, like when they're hot, they're getting, you know, first downs. And on first and second down, I have to really worry about third down conversions. But short yardage and short third downs really hasn't been anything that's really stuck out, except whenever they're having Brock Osweiler throw a 1 yard pass on third and three and that sort of thing, or, you know, throwing screens or running draws on third and eight.
Yeah, guys, you could see some crazy things on Sunday, because if the Texans can't get to the second level and block linebackers, well, the Lions don't have any linebackers to block.
Nope,
so
this could be
one of the most amazing games you've ever seen in your entire life.
I think for the Lions to really get rolling too, it's going to really depend on, we've seen some weeks they've gotten the up tempo going, some other weeks they seem to go really slow. And it's like what Matt's saying, that it, as an older defense, you do want this up tempo kind of really getting its stride to then kind of like pick them apart. But I mean, man, we've seen that touch and go though. We've seen this really touch and go. Like sometimes there'll be a drive put together, and then more often than not, though, there's a lot of three and outs.
And you know, that's something, Chris, that I haven't really noticed a lot of people pick up and talk about. And you know, you can get in on this too, Jeremy, but the idea of this team being up tempo and running this, you know, no huddle offense, it's kind of gone by the wayside since the preseason.
A little bit, but I can't remember which. There's been so many weird coverages of the Lions this week. I get them mixed up. I think it was the Ringer piece said that the Lions were moving, or maybe it was the Deadspin piece, that they were going no huddle like 23% of the time, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was compared to last year, it was like 6%.
Yeah.
So it's there, but it's not quite as dominant as people were talking it up in the preseason.
Yeah.
All right. We should probably leave it there then. Matt, thanks a lot for coming on here on our little podcast, coming on First Bite.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Nothing I would rather be doing right now than this.
You got anything to promote? Your Twitter, the page, any columns that you have coming out?
Plug your shiz, man.
My Twitter is at MBW987. Pretty much I've been writing this thing. It's a power rankings article, but I write about four teams a week. So it's kind of like four 2,000 word. Or it just kind of depends on what I'm writing about, but there'll be like a film post in there or a numbers post. And this week I'm writing about Jay Ajayi and the Dolphins' really good run blocking offensive line, the Packers, the Cardinals' deep passing game, and how the Ravens are completely screwed if they won't make the playoffs this year. And so every week I've been doing that and just doing a power ranking style and then picking four teams to write about of that bunch. So that's going to be up Saturday morning. And yeah.
All right. Looks good. Matt, once again, thank you for coming on here. This has been First Bite. Lions Nation, see you Sunday for the game. PrideDetroit.com. Matt, of course, from BattleRedBlog.com for the Houston Texans. And we will see you all next time.